AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbooks apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet.
The men's tournament is a blast every year, but I'm hyped for the women's tourney too. Got to tap in to see Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, and Juju Watkins. North Carolina listeners, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code Jenkins. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8777-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Thursday, March 21st. NCAA tournament is kicking off today, but we haven't seen any of it yet, so we're not talking about that. We are going to talk about the Ant Dunk. We're going to talk about Beyonce's new album. We are going to talk about the Short King coffee, and we're going to play a new game at the end that I just invented 30 seconds ago. As always, Jenkins and Jones hosted by LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
The father of the year.
Come on, man. Jackson was on my ass, man. Come on. Trying to go to ballet. The Potter died, my nigga. Like, come on, G. I got a child and another. Oh, I'm about to put some other information out there. But anyway, continue.
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. I'm the gun.
I'm Cardi B, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
And we're produced, as always, by the lovely and talented Jackson Saffron.
Waza.
All right, y'all. Let's talk about this Anthony Edwards dunk. That shit was like a fucking atom bomb. I you have to not just watch the slow motion. You have to watch the full speed video from the side view, because the speed and violence with which he arrived was truly poetry. What did it do to your soul and or wieners to see that dunk?
It was fucking incredible, bro. I think the wildest part of it was homie who he dunked on would just like, bro had to like cradle his face and go through like concussion protocol and shit. You get dunked on so bad that you got to go through the same shit that a motherfucker has to go through with like fucking Von Miller lights him up on the blind side and shit. Like, that was what was wild to me. But, you know, it was fucking incredible. What I like most about it was when Ant saw the clip. Mm-hmm. One thing I love about Ant is he does not take it for granted how cold of a motherfucker he is, right? Like, you saw him smile like, yeah. He was like, wow. He was like, yo, I really am a bad motherfucker. Hey, that shit was cold. I ain't gonna lie to you. He was like, that's the best dunk of his career. He said that that's his favorite dunk he ever did. And it was just, it was a fucking moment, bro. Only thing, I wish that he didn't, like, dislocate his finger or whatever so we could have got real, you know, celebration at the end, but.
Also loving the response, he was like, little nigga, you know what I'm saying? Like, we talked about Ant, like, him not taking, you know, the skills challenge serious enough, and he'll figure all that type of shit up. You know what I mean? But I love the fact that he leans into who he is wherever he's at. And we don't see people as good as him. Like, no, like people that are so brand conscious, they're not going to speak that way in that moment. He was, that was his natural reaction. He's going to give us his natural self, and I love that. But the dunk itself, bro, niggas that dunk off 2 feet, like those dunk-ons are generally so fucking nasty and so explosive, bro. You know what I mean? And like who is going to even try that in that moment? Of course, Ant is. You know what I'm saying? And he can actually do it. But it was incredible. And like, I think he poked Poco doing his eye or something. I hate that. But like, his reaction just made it funnier. And I found out there were a lot more people that watched basketball that are my friends and I knew that were hitting me up like, why did homie he was just crying after, like, he just sat down. I'm like, I didn't even know you watch hoops, but let's talk about it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, G, man. Ant has people interested in basketball that I didn't even know were interested in basketball or would be interested in basketball. He's a big fucking deal, man. I'm excited for the Ant Edwards-led NBA.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like, Tyler, you had the right analogy. That was a Brian Dawkins hit of a dunk. Like, right. Like, he caught him coming over the middle and just fucking bodied the shit out of him, bro.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't Nick.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, speaking of that, well, here's a good entree into that. We had a conversation on the Monday pod that a lot of other people have taken up on Twitter. And so here's my question to you guys as a way to get into it. Is dunking on someone like that a skill?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to know your angles, and you got to find that crack of daylight to get it past them and shit. Dunking on somebody absolutely is a skill.
I think dunking is instinctual. Like, I think in the moment you decide when you're going boom on a nigga. You know what I'm saying? You ain't really, it's more like, it's more physical than like thinking. It's just like, I'm trying to outdo somebody in a particular way. And I think that's like that's a particular archetype. Like, that's a bouncy nigga. You know what I mean? He has bounce. I don't know if that's necessarily like something you work on in the gym alone. You know what I'm saying? You just, in the moment, I'm gonna try to boom on this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? It's like two bodies pushing against one another and you trying to push harder than the other. That's how it kind of feels in a moment. You know what I'm saying?
This is scary.
I've actually dunked on a nigga though. Like, I've dunked on a couple niggas when I was playing. Like, so that's how it felt to me. But I wasn't like Aaron Edwards where I could like move the ball in the air. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm just, maybe I feel that way because that's all I could do is I'm trying to jump over you in this moment. I didn't have the options in the air that these fucking gods had. You know what I'm saying?
So here's my piece on the most skilled debate and, you know, Kyrie Irving and all that. That's what we're referencing. And this is actually Dame Lillard's fault for reopening the bag on Kyrie.
Reignited the fire. Driver.
I just fully agree with, like, and like I said in the last spot, I understand John and many other people indexing ball handling and scoring or layup packages as the hardest to develop skills, like the skills that the most people are trying to develop that you can see most clearly the mountaintop. However, being able to dunk on someone like that is a skill. Being a great passer is a skill. Being a great defender is a skill. Being a great shot blocker is a skill. Like all those things, like shooting, like the argument that Steph Curry is not the most skilled player ever. No one's better at his best skill in history than him. LeBron James is the best at the most basketball skills of any player. So, and to me, that's just all of them work. So like we've talked about this. If you see Montrezl Harrell in a fucking open run with NCAA Division I players, he looks like Bill Russell probably looked.
Like, oh, bro.
All these dudes are unbelievably skilled.
Seen him at the Drew? Basketball. Right. All of a sudden, he's a deep ball shooter. Like, nigga.
That's what I'm saying.
Of a sudden, he's the coldest 3-point shooter in the room. You know what I mean? But right. Go ahead, Tyler. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's my feeling on it. I think I kind of sat it out a little bit while y'all talked about it. But I just want to open up by saying I think Tyler's right, which I know John will be very surprised by.
No, I don't think anybody's surprised by that, but go ahead.
All right, so basically, you know, like I said, when people say Kyrie is the most skilled player ever, I think they're saying he's the most versatile scorer ever. And to whittle it down a little bit even more, I think they're specifically saying that he has the most offensive counters of any basketball player ever. And I want to be clear that this is not me like reducing or minimizing Kyrie here, right? Because at its essence, these things that Kyrie thrives at its essence, that's what basketball is, right? Basketball is like a chess game where the defense is going to try to box you in. They're going to try to put you in a bad situation. And it's up to the offense and their basketball IQ to figure out how to get out of those situations and use their basketball talent to get a good shot at. And Kyrie is perhaps the best we have ever seen at that particular game within the game, right? At getting out of those situations. You can't paint Kyrie in a corner because he's going to always have a counter to get out of that. And he is perhaps the best we have ever seen at that, right? Like a couple nights back, Wemby blocked the Kyrie layup and we were praising Wemby. You know what I'm saying? Because that shit just doesn't happen, right? A 7'5" guy blocks a 6'2" guy and we're like, wow, the 7'5" guy touched the face of God in this moment. You know what I'm saying? Kyrie is special, man. And like I said, this isn't me saying, hey, you know, let's turn down the praise on Kyrie. No, this is me saying, let's praise Kyrie properly. Let's put him in the right stratosphere. Let's put him in the right category. Kyrie is a singular talent. He's a one-on-one. There's only been one Kyrie in the entire history of the sport. But most skilled basketball player ever, like basketball player ever? No, he's not that. And that's okay. And that's not a shot or slight at Kyrie because there's more to basketball than dribbling and getting separation and getting up a quality shot while being defended well. And Kyrie is perhaps the best we've ever seen in all those things I just mentioned. But that does not mean he's the most skilled basketball player ever because basketball is more than those things. And like I said, Kyrie's in a class of his own with all the things I just gave him credit for. He's the best to ever do all those things I just discussed. But that does not mean he's the best basketball player, the most skilled basketball player ever. Because like I said, basketball is more than just those things.
I think the most skilled basketball player is what Mike said is the GOAT. Like we're talking about like the most skilled in the way you're talking about it. You feel me? Like that's the most well-rounded. Like I don't think hoopers talk about skills and like if just hoopers in the room, right? Basketball player to basketball player. When you're talking about skills, you're not talking about other shit. You feel what I'm saying?
For sure.
So that's why I'm saying they can say most skilled because when your coach tells you to go work on your skills, it's your relationship to that motherfucking basketball. You know what I'm saying? Going there, like I was a nigga that in high school and in college, I'm going into the gym. I'm getting the key from the coach. You know what I'm saying? Going to the gym one-on-one, and I'm working on my relationship with the basketball. I'm a connection with the basketball. So when the lights are fucking on, it's like a connection. It's the ball's on the string. You feel me? Like with Kyrie, the ball's not on a string. The ball is a fucking limb. You know what I mean? And they're saying that Kyrie can do things with the basketball in relation to the basketball that nobody else can do. Like, everybody else, like, you could, I worked, I mean, obviously, I'm not comparing myself to none of these niggas, bro. I was a good hooper to regular niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I you know what I'm saying?
You're the Kyrie Irving of podcasters. Like, we've seen other podcasters, what their game looks like recently. Right, you're Kyrie Irving among,
Cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for sure. But I'm not comparing myself in any way. But I'm like, you know, like, when it comes to like, hooping, like, you know, like, your brain has all these ideas and your body can only follow so far. Kyrie is the one player that his body can do anything his brain wants him to do. And these guys are talking about it from that aspect. So when we say you can't call him skilled, nigga, I don't give a fuck what we define as skills outside of that shit. The hoopers are talking about hoops amongst hoopers. And that's how basketball players talk basketball. People that are talking basketball talk basketball. So that's why I'm like, for me, that's why I said I don't fuck with the spirit of that. Because I do get what you're saying. Like I said, you're right, bro. And all this shit, you're right. But ain't nobody talking about that shit, bro. You feel me? Like, we talking about, like, your relationship to the basketball. You know what I'm saying? And nobody has a better connection or relationship to the basketball than Kyrie fucking Irving. And that's why when Draymond jumped in there, he talked about...
I was gonna chime in here as well.
Draymond talked about the most skilled player. He talked about Kyrie, brought up Steph as well, which Mike brought up as well, because that's how basketball players talk basketball. So, like, for me, it's like I'm trying to think about it. This is the comparison I have. All right, this is probably not the best one. This is off the top of the head. Like, if we in the group chat, nigga, you feel what I'm saying? And you send a baddie in the group chat. And I'm like, you know what I'm saying? We'll see if it makes
that
sense.
That never happens.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That would be the first time.
Yeah. Right. The first time ever. We're white guys. We don't even see other women. You know
Tyler
what I mean?
Would throw his phone out the window for
sure. Yeah, for sure. Whatever, right? And the nigga say, yeah, but is she fiscally responsible? Nigga, we ain't talking about that. The fuck? We talking, get into these ass and titties. We talking about ass and titties. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's nigga, a horrible analogy.
I mean, the thing is, that's a horrible analogy. It could be.
I like it.
Thank you. But we talking about
on John's side here.
It's homies talk. We talking about shit in a particular way. Like, we ain't talking about women. We talking about the best. We talking about ass and titty. We talking about like basketball. We're talking about skills. We're talking about his relationship to the basketball. You feel me? His relationship with him
and the
ball. But
players also overly in-depth. Like, if you get around a group of
linebackers... You can say all that, but that's not the reason why they talk about it like that.
They're going to talk about who hits who the hardest. That's not the most important skill for a linebacker, but that's what they value.
You're talking about a particular position within the game. Niggas, a big, would talk about Kyrie as he being the most skilled.
No, okay,
because people that play basketball value that.
Take someone in his position. You think his skill set is more valuable than Steph Curry's skill set?
I don't think it's more valuable. Nobody's talking about it. That's what you're seeing it as, right? They're seeing is this relationship to the rock, his relationship to the fucking basketball, his connection to the basketball is better than anybody else's in the history of the game.
I agree with that. And I agree that basketball players do place supreme importance on that. I just don't think that's correct. But also, like, the gods are talking.
Who gives a fuck what we think?
They can be wrong, dude.
But like, nigga.
Basketball players say dumb shit all the time. Shaq just said, the most dominant player of all time just said no one has ever been afraid of LeBron. Bro, like, okay, they say dumb shit all the time, bro.
But when hoops are talking about the essence of hoops, bro, you feel me? Which is your relationship to the fucking basketball. This is not that. You feel me? And let's talk. That's how they define skills. That's how hoopers define skills. You feel me? And so, like, they can say he's the most skilled because that's how they're talking about it. And y'all understand that. And so, for me, it's just odd when it's like, you need to define that better. No, they don't. That's how basketball players talk basketball. You know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing. I'm gonna tell you where your ass and titties analogy falls short. You know, if someone asks, is she fiscally responsible? You know that someone is trying to find a knock here. Right. And I'm not coming from a place where I'm trying to find a knock on Kyrie. Like I said, I'm not trying to turn down the praise on Kyrie. I'm saying let's praise him properly. He is not the best, the most skilled basketball player ever, because, you know, like we discussed, It's LeBron to me. He is the most deadly fucking Swiss Army knife in the history of the sport.
But there's a conversation for that. That's a GOAT conversation. That the Venn diagram of that and the GOAT conversation is a fucking circle. That's a GOAT conversation. And that's what it should be, right?
That's not true. But the GOAT conversation is about winning that's versus not true. Skill.
Yeah, like, yeah. Okay. Because because people will admit that LeBron does more things better than MJ, but lots of people will not admit that LeBron is better than MJ. It's not inclusive. It's not all inclusive. But
when we're talking best basketball player, right? That's what we're talking about. So fuck everybody else. Me, us three, us four in here. When we're talking best basketball player, we're talking about all of that. GOAT, you know, that talks about that ass career and all that shit. We've talked about the difference between best and greatest. You feel me? Objectively, I think most people is the best basketball player. Then they start adding in career, which Jordan comes into play. You know what I'm saying? Which when you say Jordan, cool. You feel me? But like, dog, that's why I'm like, that's why I don't really fuck with that. I'm like, dog, like, that is a different conversation. When they're talking skills, we know what they're talking about. Like, we know where they're coming from.
I'm not saying I don't know where they're coming from.
If you know where they're coming from, and we're like, we need a bit different. No, we don't. That's how niggas.
Well, I do, because I don't see the game that, like, that's not the most important part of basketball to me. So that's not how I'm going to approach it.
You saying what? The relationship with the basketball is not the most important part of basketball?
No, I'm saying that's the essence of the game. I'm not disagreeing that it's the essence of the game. I'm not disagreeing that it's a very important skill. But the point I'm making again, like, to me as a basketball fan, would look at the way LeBron plays, would look at the way that Steph plays, and also value the things they do just as much. Because I'm not an NBA basketball player. So I'm not the relationship to the basketball is not the most important thing to me. And I think that's
they're not saying
fine.
It's more important. They're not saying it's more important.
Yes, they are.
Important.
When they say when they're not saying that they skill are. As
no, they're not. They're
skilled.
Not. Jackson, go ahead. They're not saying it's more important.
This is where I agree with John, and I want to chime in about the Draymond stuff, because Draymond and I talked off the pod, which I don't think I'm like breaking any rules here by saying this part of it. And
don't
I was
get
like,
yourself fired. From
I don't
Draymond's
think I'm gonna get fired. No. But we're okay, not. I was just like, okay, if we agree that like Kyrie and Steph are like the two of. The most common answers for the most skilled player in the NBA. Then I was like, okay, then what's the difference? I was the one who brought it up. I was like, what's the difference there? Is it like basketball IQ? Like, why is Steph so much better? We all agree, like, more valuable to a basketball team.
For sure.
And even though the skills are so close. And Dre was like, it's Steph is his basketball IQ. He was not talking shit about Kyrie, to be clear.
Yeah.
He was just saying Steph Curry's basketball IQ is like off the charts. And like, and I think that's the difference there. And I think that's what a lot of, again, it doesn't matter, like, whether you think that's what should be classified as a skill or not, whatever. Yeah. But I think that it's about the when what John is describing, and I think what I sort of can agree with a little bit is the skills idea is about learned physical skills, learned ones, not like born physical skills like your size, learned physical skills. Which I agree.
That's a
Mike,
false dichotomy, bro.
Which I agree, sort of like sets to the side some of like the defensive and playmaking aspects, which are like mental skills that you need to learn. But like, yeah, which understates the idea of a mental skill. But they're talking about just the physical, learned physical skills.
But that's how they talk about basketball. And so for me, it's like, and that's how everybody on every level. And you say you're not an NBA player, nigga. Like, if you if you play like Vinny's kids, when you talk about, you know, Vinny's age, like in every level, you know what I'm saying? I've never been to a level close to but every level I've been on, they talk about basketball in that way. So like, I understand you're right. You feel me? Like but like nobody talks about basketball in that way, bro. And so that's why I'm like, nobody that's around basketball, in basketball, talks about basketball like that. So that's why I'm like, I don't know. I don't fuck with the spirit of that shit, because that's not how people that fuck with the game really talk about the game. And that's why I'm at with it. But I understand y'all are right.
I fuck with the game. And love the game and talk about the game.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just saying, like, if you, as a, I don't know, I spend a lot of time me one-on-one with that basketball, right? And like, seeing Kyrie is like, God damn, bro.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? No, it's like being alone in the gym, me and the ball, trying to build a relationship. And there's times you feel like it's connected to you, right? But like, and I think this is where they're coming from, because like, them niggas spent more time than you could even imagine working on their fucking game. And I'm like, this nigga can go to a place that I've never seen anybody go to with that fucking rock. And that's so beautiful to see. And they're speaking to that. And then we're like, we need a better definition. It's like, I don't, bro, we just saw a nigga do something that And people were sending me like that.
To be clear, I don't think Tyler or I have ever said we need a better definition. We understand exactly what people are saying, and we have a different interpretation of the word skill. Like I think is like a very.
But you're saying no, but no, but the thing is like, he said something right, and you're like, well, I don't know if we could say that. We need to say this. That's what y'all coming.
Here's a question I have for you guys, because you have already acknowledged obviously that there are other parts to the game that are important. Do you think that the gap between Steph Curry and everyone else in shooting is the biggest gap between the top player in a skill and the second best player?
And I think Kyrie's more. I think Steph is more skilled than Kyrie. To be clear, okay. I don't even think he's the most skilled player of all time.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I do for sure. I think in shooting the gap. But in the relationship to the basketball, I think Kyrie can do things and nobody's going to like.
I completely agree. You know what I'm saying? Agree with you.
But also I do think when you're talking about skills, I think Steph is right there. Like I think Steph is right there. We're talking about his relationship with basketball. I just think, you know, his shooting makes him a much better basketball player than Kyrie. But you know what I'm saying?
I think a thing that NBA players are struggling to come to grips with, and I'll be honest with you, I think you are not the only person who's good at basketball who's also struggling to come to grips with it. There's never been a time when ball handling is less emphasized in the way that the professional basketball is played. Like,
but he can actually shoot the ball.
They're doing everything they can to take guys dribbling the ball out of it. Like they're moving everything they can towards ball movement, getting off a screen, catching and shooting. Right?
It's not like ball handling though, bro. It's not just ball handling.
I understand that, but I'm saying
he's a 50-40-90 guy. He's always flirting with that. So it's not just ball handling. You feel me?
You're not talking about the percentage he shoots threes at, or you.
I'm talking about
Steph.
He can shoot though. He can. No. I mean, in shooting, Steph's better. I'm talking about, dude. There's a bunch of when you're in relationship with the ball, like when you're shooting the field. Like I would like. Okay, as I would walk around doing figure eights with the ball in my hand, just walking around the house, and that would help with my shooting because that was building my connection with the ball. When I got the ball in my hand, it felt more comfortable. You feel what I'm saying? So that's part of it as well. Shooting is part of it. Like, and he's a good shooter. He's a good shooter. He's finishing at the rim, his ball handling, you know what I mean? His creativeness. Like, he has so much he can do on both sides that nobody can do. He can go places that nobody else can go, and that's what they're talking about. And I was just like, why can't we just lean into that? You feel me? Nobody's taking anything away from like Steph and how great of a skill he has in shooting and just in general. It's just like, dog, these niggas that are.
I don't think anyone's nearly as skilled a basketball player as LeBron, bro. I mean, I'm not even like making a real argument for Steph. I'm just saying like within the realm of what you're talking about, that's my point with Steph. But like what you're saying was the exact excitement I have for Bron as he came into the league. That all my other friends who also love basketball, play basketball at a high level, we're talking about is no one's ever been more skilled at basketball. This motherfucker can do everything. Every other player, like, I mean, he ruined the concept of positions for the NBA. Like, so like yeah. I just genuinely think it's a short man bias, which most of us are shorter than NBA players, that like physical gifts, things that are perceived as physical gifts, which I do believe is a total fucking false dichotomy, like that those are separate from developed physical skills.
But NBA players are saying that, and they're not short men. The people that you're talking about, dude, they're saying it like bigs. If you ask Embiid, he probably says Kyrie. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not just, so that, I don't know, in this conversation, that doesn't apply. You know what I mean?
I don't know. NBA players are not honest with themselves a lot. Like I remember KD came at me because I said KD being 7 foot and being able to utilize his height over shorter defenders, that is a skill that he has developed. And he took offense to that. You know what I'm saying? So these guys are not completely honest with themselves, bro.
Yeah,
being honest with themselves. And I thought KD was dead wrong. This is not themselves they're talking about.
This is not themselves they're talking about. Other 7 footers who can shoot.
They're talking about Kyrie. They're not talking about themselves.
But no, I'm telling you that these basketball players' opinions are not the end all be all because they are even delusional about themselves,
Okay, for sure. Okay. You know, but like, dude, like I just don't understand. Like, that's not just basketball. Like, niggas said, in the game, when you're talking about skills, you're talking about it in a particular way. Like, that's how you talk about skills. Like, you don't talk about skills in the way that we're talking about skills right now. Nobody talks about skills like that. Around the game. And that's where I'm at with it. And we just disagree, that's cool. But I'm just like, I just think that's such a different way of approaching than people that are actually like fucking like right, they're playing a game. You know, they're in a game. You know what I'm saying?
But it's how they talk about it. But like, this is, and this is where I actually do like engage in the argument, John. They're talking about it, but that's not what they're talking about. Is not accurate to where they, to the way they lived. Kevin Durant spent just as much time developing his shot. Anthony Edwards was just talking in an interview last night about it takes 20 years to develop the ability to shoot your jump shot the exact same way every time the way KD did. So KD was also as obsessively working skill-wise on his skill of shooting with a high release point as a seven-footer as Kyrie Irving. Basketball players value what Kyrie does more. I completely understand that. I just disagree. But, and, I mean, and I'm saying as a viewer of basketball, I find KD as like we saw what seven-footers look like when we were growing up. Kevin Durant's ability to have the skills to transform my ability to even imagine what a seven-foot human being is capable of is a skill to me. And it's a skill to Tyler, and it's not a skill to KD. Like I understand that. I just disagree with him. And I know I think there's a little bit of a like there's an old like French poet line, so I don't fucking remember what it was, but it's like a plant does not know about horticulture. A plant's just a plant, bro. And I don't think that like basketball analysts have more to say necessarily about basketball than basketball players. But I do sometimes think players in sports have a bias towards certain things that I just disagree with. And I'm not saying I'm smarter than them or my opinion matters more, but I just disagree and I understand where their bias comes from.
I want to say that, you know, I'm not saying that he wasn't working as obsessively as Kyrie was. No,
so
I don't think anybody's speaking to him.
Why split the hair on what's skill?
I don't think anybody's working more. I think they're all obsessing over the game. You feel me?
Of course.
But Kyrie just has the ability, basically, with you know what I'm saying, to do the things that they
can. Natural ability, not a skill.
No, I'm just, I mean, I think part of it's always natural. But I think part of it's natural. Like, dude, Kyrie can do shit. Like, I could work just as hard as Kyrie. We've talked about this. Me, all of us can work just as hard as Steph and not be able to shoot like Steph. You know what I'm saying? So part of it's natural. But, like, regardless of that, like, his ability allows him to do things that others can't. And that's what they're speaking to. Nobody's saying he's put more into it than anybody else. And that's how they're talking about it. And I understand. I just don't understand what it needs to be that, you know.
I think we understand what they're saying too. Like I said, I think we understand the connotation there. The most versatile score ever, deepest bag of offensive counters ever, right? I think we understand that's what they're saying. But best skill player ever, bro. That's just way too broad of a brush, right there, bro. You know that's where we're at. We understand the connotation, but I kind of like for words to mean things, bro. You feel me? So that's where I'm
words
at with
it. Nigga, but like that's what motherfuckers say when niggas use words that in a way that they don't mean us. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we use words outside of the way they're defined in Webster's, right? So do Hoopers. It means a particular thing within that space. We use words and it means a particular thing.
It just happens to be a word that does also mean the other things and that we do
like,
use.
When I'm saying a crib, I don't mean a crib. I mean St. Louis, nigga. You feel me? Whoa. I like that
word
to me.
Before we get into a whole conversation about fucking synecdoche,
nigga just did a crazy shit and we want what's semantics. I'm like, nigga, why are we like, come on,
we're not
let's talk
about
what
semantics.
He did.
We game said he's the most skilled player ever.
Most skilled ever player ever. That's a lofty fucking crown, dude. And like I said, Kyrie is in a category of all his own. And let's just categorize him correctly. That's all I'm at with.
Amongst
it,
niggas that basketball, that's the category he's in.
Tyler, you know, fucks with basketball, bro.
I know. I'm not saying. I'm saying the gods are saying that. Like, why are we? I don't know.
For sure, and they're right. And they're right about the thing that they're saying. They're just using language that we wouldn't use. That's it. We're not even arguing with the point they're making. We're just arguing about like that's not the way I would describe it. If you feel that's overly semantic, for sure. I agree with Tyler. It's like I specifically use these words to describe other players, so I feel a need to distinguish that. You know what I mean?
Kyrie had his ass and titties out, and y'all want to talk about fiscal responsibility. And I just wanted to come over here and talk about ass and titties.
If you want to talk about the personality traits of Kyrie Irving, John, we can do that.
I didn't want to talk about that. I'm talking about the other thing. The man was out there being thick and had his cheeks out, and I want to talk about them cheeks. You feel me? And y'all came over here and want to talk about, well, it's not, you know, all right, cool. We got here because
to use your analogy. I feel like you sent us a quote of Dame Lillard saying, that's the most full-figured woman I've ever seen on a woman with a huge ass and no titties. That's what I feel like is you're saying. And Tyler and I are just saying that to us, the phrase full figured requires both assities. That's all we're saying.
I love a woman with no titties and a big ass. So maybe that's just preference. You know what I'm saying? So that's the ideal body shape.
That's a great
you know
bow right there. All right,
let's make a really awkward transition into talking about the new Beyonce album.
Speaking about full figured,
I didn't say that.
But all due respect, respectfully,
respect
of course,
to Mrs. Carter.
You, Mrs. Carter, indeed.
Beyonce dropped the album cover for her upcoming country music album. I would assume everyone who has cared about this has seen it, but I want to give a little bit of the context. She said the album is. She's dressed up in red, white, and blue. She's riding a white horse. Tyler already talked about the importance of the symbolism of the horse in this three acts that she's going to be doing. She's also carrying an American flag. And she referenced in discussing what went into the cover for Cowboy Carter, she referenced her 2016 Country Music Awards performance with the Dixie Chicks, where she was heckled from the crowd. She said, "This album has been over 5 years in the making. It was born out of an experience that I had years ago where I did not feel welcomed, and it was very clear that I wasn't." What was your guys' reaction to the album cover and to this way that she is taking artistically to deal with that feeling of not being welcomed?
I mean, I love the motivation for the album. She basically just the MJ meme, and I took that personally and like fucking audio nice. For it, right? Nice. So yeah, nice. So yeah, I love that. You're not gonna tell Beyonce what she can and can't do. Are you fucking crazy? So very much. Like, I'm not even a big country dude, but of course I'm a big Beyonce fan, so I'm gonna be locked in for this. So, you know, knowing that there was that added motivation of her wanting to prove motherfuckers wrong on that for sure piques my interest even a bit more here.
I mean, yeah, I love Beyonce saying I'm Beyonce. The fuck you mean? I'm me. You say this. Well, I'm going to go ahead and make a whole ass album. You feel me? Fuck you mean? But like, I the American flag. You know what is the symbolism with that? I'm wondering. You know,
from the picture, it looks like it was just her at a rodeo, right? Like, I don't think she's out here being a patriot or you know just. Being,
I mean,
you
a
know,
country album, American flag. What do you? I mean, yeah. there's a.
I'm hoping it's a little bit of like reclaiming the space because I also
I would love
not,
that.
Do not
I would love
the American flag.
But. Yeah. I would love if it's that and it spoke to that. But like, yeah, that can I don't know if I can say this well. It feels a little like pandering.
Ooh.
So
you think Beyonce? So you think she's pandering to white folks here?
I don't. I'm not saying she is because I don't think she is. I'm not saying, but that's what it feels like. I'm talking about my feelings when I see American flag and she's holding that American flag. While, you know, making a country album that is not generally music that we listen to. We're going to listen to because of Beyonce. You know what I mean? It feels a particular way to me. And I just would want to know the... Because like, it could be reclaiming.
I think,
it could
yeah,
be reclaiming.
So,
and I hope
so,
that's what
so
it is.
Biko just sent like a little a Twitter analysis. It was exactly what I was going to say, which is the letter that accompanied the photo was about reclaiming spaces where, quote, you did not feel welcome, and she's holding an American flag. Oh, so I
perfect.
Like,
perfect. Okay. Love that.
I'm going to get to that.
And you know what? I was going to
No, she said it was about that. She just said it was about that, right?
Yeah.
That was her.
Yeah,
and cool. Perfect.
Yeah. And my counter to your point was going to be, you know, Renaissance was just so celebratory of Black people and Black gay people in particular, right? Like, I was like, I don't see her pandering to white people. I don't see that would be the next move here in the trilogy. But then that quote there of how she's reclaiming space, because that was what Renaissance was about too. It was about reclaiming these genres that Black gay people pioneered. So
I'm saying I was saying that's how it feels to me. And I told you I don't think she did that. I don't think she would do that. Doesn't make sense for Beyonce to do that.
That's
and
your
so
emotional
I'm
reaction to
yes,
seeing the American
yes,
flag.
So. Yeah, to be in America, like why are we doing that? You know, I'm glad that's what she was. And it makes sense what she was doing. But yeah, it didn't make sense Beyonce holding an American flag. And I was wondering why. You feel me?
Yeah.
Based on how vocal she's been when it comes to like the injustices that's going on. You know what I'm saying? So
I just finished Billie Jean King's autobiography. And I'm always so impressed by people who change society while being like, there's the phrase joyful warrior. And I think that it's such a difficult thing to do to like, this is Beyonce is making a statement about America on what will be the number one album of the year. Right. And will probably be a fun as fuck album to listen to as well. Right. But like she's saying, like that ability to transform hurt at injustice into something that's a joyful movement or an album that can bring people along and make them feel included. Like, I think that that's such a rare, I just feel like there's like a dozen people on earth, a generation who have that.
Right.
Sometimes they play baseball. Sometimes they play tennis. Sometimes they make music, you know, like, and there's nothing we could, sometimes they want to run for president, you know, like whatever. But rumored collaborators on the Cowboy Carter album, Dolly Parton, Taylor Swift, Megan Thee Stallion, and Lady Gaga.
Wow. I love it.
That shit is going to fucking shift.
I was hoping my dog Chris Stapleton made an appearance, but
right.
He's not as famous as those four people. Could still be, yeah. And you know what I mean? Just it wasn't publicized in that particular tweet. Could still be.
It's going to leave a dent in the planet.
Give her the
Grammy, you know what I'm saying?
Give her the CMA. I want her to win all the awards just to piss off the people who are like being upset about this in any way.
Yeah.
That's God, the thing that's the crazy. Other thing that's great is that the people who are going to be upset are people that we can all enjoy being upset.
Like, it's perfect. Right. Yeah. Perfect. It's a perfect.
Like, so, like, someone yelled at her when she was on stage with the Dixie Chicks, get that bitch off the stage. Someone
what?
Yelled that from the Country Music Awards, bro.
Yelling that with the Dixie Chicks who went fucking completely left wing with their shit during the fucking, you know, war in Iraq and shit. And Beyonce's the one they single out. That's wild.
Yeah.
Because it's not about politics, nigga. She black.
Yeah, that, exactly. That's the point.
You thought.
Yeah, right.
It was always this.
Always this. You feel me?
Real quick, wait. I just wanted to say that I do feel like I sent this to you a second ago, Mike, too. People forget that Beyonce is from Texas. Like, she was probably raised, I mean, I'm assuming, but like raised on country music and Dolly Parton. So, like, uproar of people being upset about her putting out a country music is kind of funny to me, because it's like she's in a sense like maybe that's just her going back to her roots and like doing a soulful country R&B whatever it is, you know. So I just thought that was interesting.
I mean, like anytime people try and like say like it's like protect the racial purity of country music, it's like it's the music of the South, and also it all came out of black music tradition.
It is her culture.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. We only got a couple more minutes. So real quick, I have to bring everyone's attention to fucking Biko. Thank you for passing this along to us. Dunkin' Donut has released a new drink. The small iced coffee will now be referred to as the Short King in the Dunkin' app. Because sometimes you don't need a large or even a medium. You just need a Short King. Is this finally representation?
I was going to say representation right there, man. I love it, man. You know, shouts to the Short Kings, bro. Myself included.
I just love how fun it is too. You know what I mean? Like, you could just say small. No, let's call it Short King. You know what I mean? I love that. Need that in business. You feel me?
Bring back whimsy. Okay.
For real.
We're the official podcast of whimsy and yearning. Okay.
Bro.
That's our brand. We want more whimsy and we want more fucking yearning.
I could frolic with a Short King fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, drink for sure, G. I need that. I need that, bro.
All right. Last thing before we get out of here, I have a quick game that I want to play, which is it's called Dickhead or Asshole. Okay. You tell me which one applies here. Charles Xavier started a superhero team that it has been stuck in my head that he really named the Xavier Men. Is he a dickhead or an asshole for that?
I mean, I don't want to go comic book nerd here, but I kind of get the connotation there. The X being unknown and mutants are, you know, there's some unknown shit going on with
that's what he wants DNA you to think, though, right? Tyler. He said, this gene allows you to fly. I'm going to name it the Xavier gene, bro. Like, that's what...
I mean, more asshole. I think that's asshole.
Scientists would have named the shit like SARS-59 or some shit. You know what I mean? He just put his own fucking initial on that shit on purpose, bro.
I don't know. I guess my definition of dickhead and asshole. I feel like there's got to be some malicious intent to be an asshole. I feel like you can be a dickhead just by being inconsiderate. You know what I mean? Or being full of yourself. You feel me? So
okay.
I'd probably go dickhead here with that. Even though I understand it. Yeah.
John, you feel it's an asshole move?
I think it's asshole. Dickhead seems like something that... Dickheads are mean.
You know, I feel like assholes are mean, bro.
I mean, I how would you describe a person? I feel like who assholes are mean and dickheads are stupid. And then enlisted them into his private army named after himself. How would you describe that person?
So, by the way,
you and your teacher are going to be fucking beating up shoplifters in about 45 minutes here. So get your math homework done.
Tyler, so you think dickheads are just stupid?
I feel like there's a level of stupidity with dickheads that isn't there with assholes. I feel like assholes are pompous. You know, there's some malicious intent there. I feel like a dickhead is a dumb fuck who just pissed you off. That's where I'm at with it.
I'd call somebody an asshole before I called him a dickhead. You'd have to really piss me off for me to call
right because they'd have to do something to you, right? There's my whole thing. Assholes usually you say that when someone does something with some malicious intent, right?
I'd say dickhead. I'd say a dickhead. If you were coming at me in a particular way, like that's the like you fucking dickhead. I'm almost ready to fight. You know what I'm saying? Like you know that dickhead is a lot, bro. I could call somebody an asshole. I think I might get punched in the face. I call somebody a dickhead. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that make more sense? Does that make sense? Like, what's most likely to get you punched in the face? Niggas are called assholes, but a dickhead? Oh, bro, I might get my ass whooped. You know what I'm saying? If I can't whoop the nigga myself, you feel me? Am I tripping?
Who do you think is a quintessential asshole versus a quintessential dickhead? Like, who would be the platonic ideal of those terms for you, for either of you?
Let me ponder this.
I would say Donald Trump is the biggest asshole in the world to me.
Yes. He's an asshole, and I feel like his followers are dickheads, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like there's that's like a perfect kind of example. You feel me?
I think he's an asshole and a dickhead. I think he's found a way to be both.
That's all the time we've got. This episode of Jenkins and Jones brought to you by Webster's Dictionary. We will be back on Monday with our next regular episode. Enjoy the NCAA tournament. I hope you find some games to watch. Hope you find a way to get out of working for the next couple of days and relax and enjoy some games. We'll see y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.
The Volume.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at ReserveBar.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.